Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, happy Thursday, Dr. Price. It is your favorite time of the week.
It most sure, listen, I got to tell you, I couldn't call it better. It most surely is. It is a cold, wintry Thursday here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, but the sun is shining in the kingdom of God. And I say, amen. So, how are you this morning, Ashley? It is morning, right? Still morning?
It is still morning here, and I am doing great.
You know, I have to ask, because, you know, we have so many things going and time is moving. Can you believe time is moving? We're already coming up on the middle of January 2014. And for us here at Paula Price Ministry and PPM Global Resources, my goodness, it's kicking off with a storm. God has been blessing and amazing things have happened. So welcome, everybody, to our Thursday show. I want to start out today's show by thanking you all for reaching out to me and for your comments, your blessings, your prayers, and your encouragement. I could never express in words fully what I feel about your connections with me and my connection with you. Things are happening in the kingdom of God. Things are happening in your lives, and we want to hear about it. We want to pray with you for your issues. But we also want to celebrate with you for your victories. So continue to share it. Keep it coming. A little later in our show, we'll have Prophet Adia tell us about all that she has going on and all that we have going on in our sales of the month and all of those kinds of things. And a little bit after my exhortation, we're going to talk with two of my advisors. I want to reiterate who and what PPM Global Resources is to you. And I want you to think about it because God has been stepping up the pace on our ministry, on our business, on our clients and clientels, on our colleagues and affiliates. And so I want you to just listen to a couple of the people who are connected with us. And so we've gained permission to definitely present them on the show and their advisors. So we're going to set aside a little bit of time for that. Prophet Ashley is one of them, and also Prophet Tal is another. They're two of our advisors that we have, and we're going to have them and their clients on just for you to hear a little bit of their dialogue, because we want you to know that God is doing a new thing, and typically the church is very wary, and they should be, of new things. But this is becoming established. God has proven that this is one of the things that he's going to do in the future relating to prophetic ministry, ministry entirely, and also relating to marketplace ministry. I want to talk to you a little bit about marketplace ministry today, because I think that we have a long way to go to get where we want to be on that subject. So I won't be with you long on this. Because we want to get with our advisors. But here's what I want to say to you. You know, we as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, particularly the charismatic church as it is defined, we are very fond of jumping on bandwagons, picking up buzzwords from wherever we can find them, you know, wherever we might be meandering along in the world, picking up buzzwords and grabbing a hold of them and wrapping our own personal theologies around them. They become doctrines. They become slogans. They become catchwords and passwords and catchphrases and all of that. Rarely do we hear or take the time to work through, flesh out what those words mean in action. I want to leave you with a couple of thoughts today that I feel are important for those of you who are called to marketplace ministry and for those of you who are in it or are contemplating it. The first thing I want to tell you is that marketplace ministry and workplace ministry, not the same. And so you can say, well, you know, I kind of minister on my job, so I'm sure that I'm marketplace ministry. No, marketplace is business. Marketplace, people in the marketplace were all separate stands, like an emporium. They all had their separate businesses, and they had the authority to call the shots. Workplace, you have the opportunity to share Christ. And there's a difference between knowing whether or not you have the authority to call the shots, having paid the dues and the cost for it. And when I say cost, I mean expenses, and the dues, I mean in trying and testing. And working in another person's environment where they have the authority and they give you the opportunity, or you see the opportunity. So workplace ministries give you more of an opportunity to manifest Jesus Christ, represent him, witness him now and again, or demonstrate his superiority outside of the local church. That's important. So, you know, today we've been kind of treating them as synonyms of one another. They're not. And so if we don't clarify that for you, some of you all are going to get in trouble in work, and you're going to think that you can do things in the name of Jesus because, you know, we base it on the fact that Jesus owns everything, and he is God, and so and I represent him, and so I can say and do what I want. Not true. And so, again, God is a God of order, and order means knowing who's in authority and the extent of your not only your authority, but the extent of your responsibility to that authority at the same time. So, you know, the first thing I want to say to you is that God has his own order, and his order is what he does in his kingdom, what he does in his church, what he does in the world. They can all have three different protocols for him. He can literally manifest three different protocols because there are three different functions of his omnipotent, omniscient call to be God of glory, King of kings, and his duty to his creation. So I would like to say to you, starting off the gate, that workplace ministry is not the same as marketplace. Now, marketplace ministry is you working your whatever your wares are, whatever your gift is, your witty inventions and your whatever, you are working that in your own environment. You have rented a space, rented a booth, rented a building, you built a building, you built a company. But the key to your authority there is, the key to your authority there is that you have authority. You can speak. You can decide to say, we are Christian-based, we are Christian-driven, we represent Jesus Christ. You have that authority. But you have that authority just as a baseline foundation. It is not going to be defined by church. And often we in Christianity, we confuse church with kingdom. The laws for church are different from the laws of the kingdom, because a kingdom consists of more than like-minded folks. And often kingdoms consist of competing folks. So in the marketplace, you're going to have a different set of rules. And whether or not you're Christian in the marketplace or not, I'm assuming, you know, meaning you're a Christian business or a Christian doing business, those are two different things, then you need to understand that kingdom has different rules because it has a different population mix. In the church, you may have diverse people all believing the same thing. In the kingdom, you do not. And so that's the first definition I'd like to lay out. In the kingdom, you have all kinds of people doing all kinds of things, and you're kind of throwing your hat in the ring, putting your brand in the fire. But in this great scheme of things, you have to now learn a different set of rules. And so what we've been doing is Christians have been getting eaten alive in the kingdom trying to do church in the marketplace. And that's not the purpose of church. Church is not for the marketplace. Church is for the converted. You know, church is for the like-minded. And so even though it's a part of the commonwealth, it's not the entirety of the commonwealth of God's kingdom. So that's number one. I want to clear that up. Second thing I want to tell you is that in the marketplace, because it's kingdom, you're not just dealing with diverse people or diverse families. You're dealing with diverse nations or nationalities, belief systems, values, etc. And you have to decide how you want to entreat them or profit from them, because you're in the marketplace to profit. You're there to profit. God You're there to enable God to profit you, and you're there to enable God to use you to profit his kingdom. Very important that you understand these things. So it's not a lot, it's not just enough to say, well, I'm a marketplace minister, so I'm just going to find me something to sell so I can make money off the kingdom. That's not what this is about. You have to have a vision, a purpose, a product, something you can brand, something that the wider world, not body of Christ, the wider world needs on some level. And if it is the body of Christ, it's still the body of Christ, not like your local church. You cannot do business in the marketplace the way you worship on Sunday. You cannot do business in the marketplace devotionally. And we want to do that. You know, just because you love Jesus doesn't mean you don't realize that he has a whole different set of rules to keep his edge outside of his congregation. The Jesus that we meet on Sunday morning or in our worship service whenever they are held, and the Jesus who has to contend with competitors, rivals, adversaries, and opposers, two different manifestations of the same man. He is, on one side, he is a contender, and on the other side, he's a comforter. And we need to recognize that we're trying to take his comfort into a contentious environment, and we are getting eaten alive because of it. We don't want to go to business school. We don't want to use business principles. We don't want to develop what God has given us. We don't even want to put on that tougher edge. We still want to go there with our little clergy wear on or our little priestly robes when sometimes we need a leather coat and sometimes we need body armor. And we need to know what it takes. The biggest thing about doing kingdom versus church is knowing that Jesus is not the same manifestation in the five-day-a-week, six-day-a-week, work-a-day world. In the work-a-day world, he is out to win. He's out to stay on top. He's out to keep charge. He's out to make the biggest sales, have the biggest the following. He's out to do that. He's not out to let everybody know he's this meek and lowly Savior in that respect. Now, in church, he is. In evangelism, he is. In pastoring, absolutely. Even in discipling, yes. But when it comes down to apostles and prophets, God has a two-pronged mandate on both of those lines. If you think about Israel, Israel's prophets were prophets in the kingdom. And some of them did marketplace, some did court, some did military, some did palace, some did temple, some were in the temple, you know, the priestly ones, but they were all about maintaining God's kingdom, his hold on his nation, his rank among the nations, and his stature among the gods. And so we have to shift a few things. And because we want to kind of, you know, well, I just want to go and quote me some scripture. I want to go and see how many souls I can win. I want to go and see how many people I can force into the sinner's prayer. That's not what you do in marketplace. What you do in marketplace is let these people who don't know God know that he is King of Kings, God of gods, and Lord of lords. And you take the best products, you take the best strategies, you take the best business plan, the best business ventures, and you establish yourself as a representative of your God in that vein, in that context. And if you don't shift, you're going to go into business and fail. You're going to go into business and die. You want to go into business and you want to still have 5 hours of prayer in the morning. You cannot do that. You won't make any money. And the whole idea of business is making money for the king. Now, if you're going to be a marketplace prophet or minister, you cannot have a fear of making money, and you cannot have a fear of learning what it takes to make it. You're going to have to recognize that the silver is God, the gold is God, the cattle on a thousand hills are God. All that is his, made by his hand, but it's not his as the Savior only. It is his as the Lord and creator of all, and you're going to have to compete and contend for your portion of it. When you read Luke 19, which is one of my favorite scriptures, everybody in marketplace ministry ought to know Luke 19 and the parable of the 10 minor by heart. We are in the church, we're happy to talk about the parable of the talent, but in the marketplace, you need to master the mind of the man who gave you the parable of the 10 minor. Very different. There's two different things. Now, in both, he's given reward, but in the Luke model, the Luke parable, it is about doing business in a hostile environment. It is about doing business in a threatening environment. It's about contending with jeopardy. It's about making something out of nothing. It's about having the ingenuity to take a little bit and create a lot. All of that with one objective in mind, that this king, this owner is coming back, and you want to not only give him the best, but you want to get the most from his reward. In the parable, they give, you know, hey, they're getting, in the parable of the talents, they get responsibility as a harvest. In the parable of the ten minor, they get kingdom. They get city. They get land. They get property. Very different. Very different. And so you have to understand landowner versus nobleman turned king, two different things. And if I could pray anything on the body of Christ today, I would love to pray that you recognize that Jesus is more than the bishop of our souls, the shepherd of the flock, the lamb upon the throne, the sacrificial guy who died on the cross. He, before he got any of those redemptive things going on for humanity, Jesus was king and has always been. He ruled all of creation before he set aside all of that to become flesh. And when he paid the debt and our debt, he went back to doing what he's always done. Except now he's inviting his family, those who are filled with his spirit, to join him in the family business and to partner him in the kingdom revenues and the kingdom commonwealth. So God expects you to have a different mindset. That's why not everybody is called to marketplace ministry, because not everybody can toughen up for it. Not everybody has that edge for it. I mean, you think about Abraham. Abraham had a real ruthless edge to him for God's kingdom. You think about David. Come on, who are we kidding? See, we haven't even tapped this thing called marketplace because we're still trying to be good little church boys and good little church girls. And how it's nice to clean stuff up in the church world, but you still have to recognize that Jesus is the same cunning mind that took all of those kingdoms. He hasn't changed. And so this is a whole training in itself. Of course, we cannot cover even an iota of it here, but I want to talk to you about it because many of you are going to go into marketplace thinking you're going to church, and I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to be quiet. I want to be humble. I'm going to be meek. That's not where you do that. And certainly not be weak. Meek, yes. Weak, not so. And so you're going to have to know that you have to come forth with strength. You got to find your A game. You're going to have to make it an A game, and then you're going to have to bring it wherever you go. You're not going to be able to go to marketplace talking about my kids, my dog, my birds, my cats. Nobody cares. Nobody is hiring your family. They're not hiring your testimony. They're not hiring your Christian experience. They're hiring your skills, your competence. And you need to know that that's what it is. No matter what crises you have, you've cut covenant with people, you got contracts, you must be ready to deliver. You cannot use Christianese as an excuse to be incompetent or unethical. It's very different. We've had situations where two or three people were friends. My daughter and I, when we found out, we had a situation where two women were friends, and one came to us with a business idea. We were ready to run with her. She got off and knocked off her perch, went to the other one because something went down between the two of them. The other one wouldn't pick up the thing to do the business. That's not a marketplace mentality. Marketplaces, we're going to set aside all kinds of nonsense. We're setting aside our incompatibility. We're setting aside a lot of things and find out how we can all make some money off of this particular venture, whatever that venture is. And we're not ready to do that. We still want to make sure that we all agree. We have to make sure that we all like each other. See, those are things you need in the family of God. Yes, we need that. But in the kingdom, remember, you've got more than a family. I had another experience where we had engaged a quote-unquote marketplace ministry to do some business for us, and then what happened is that they went to their pastor, and their pastor didn't approve of the business venture, so they didn't do it. That your pastor had no right to speak into your business because your pastor does not have the expertise to know the arena called marketplace, called kingdom. So this particular minister dropped the deal again. I cannot tell you how many Christians in business drop the deal, can't finish it, won't finish it, won't do the research, won't do the training, etc. If you're called to marketplace ministry, you need to buck up a little bit and bring your game. Had another marketplace minister who took our funds for a service and decided that it was too hard for him. Wouldn't tell us it was too hard, refuses to return it. See, that's not a marketplace mentality that's going to bring glory to the king. See, God wants us in the marketplace to bring the same light and integrity and salt that has preserved his church into the enterprises of the world, to bring the ethics that we that kept his kingdom going. He's not asking us to do something that he hasn't had to do. And so I just gave you some of these examples. Integrity is key. See, because you can drop the ball in church and we've got to forgive you. You can make a promise in church and, okay, so we're only human. That's not how marketplace people get to operate. You've got to keep your word. I can't tell you how many marketplace ministers I've met, give you your word, promise you this and that. You never hear from them again, and they just float away. I meet them 3 years later, 5 years later, and they're still talking about they're in marketplace ministry. But all I can remember is that I'm not impressed because you haven't delivered on what you promised me. We have to do. We cannot decide to say we're going to be real, real comfortable with substandard this and inferior that, and contend for the superior. You cannot take the inferior consciousness of the church, of the local church, into the marketplace and expect superior rewards. That you have to make up your mind. If God called you to that, you're a different person. When you look at in the scripture and you look at how God arranged the 12 tribes around the tabernacle and around the business people on the end, they were the ones that's going to see to it. They're going to be the guards. They're going to be the harvesters. They're going to be the go-getters. They needed to be able to exit the holy precincts, get into that world, do business, and get back and bring it to the kingdom quickly. So God has some, this is going to be a season as we move into this that God is going to mature this thing called marketplace ministry. And it's not going to be church on somebody else's dime. And it's not going to be taking people's funds and delivering them nothing but a spiritual promise. Marketplace is not about spiritual promises. It's about material products. So you don't expect somebody to give you a spiritual item in the marketplace constantly. We all get a breakthrough. Everybody gets some what we call grace and all of that. But you don't expect someone to bring you a spiritual item into your store every week in your whole neighborhood. Okay, guys, all we want is something spiritual, and you're going to hand out your material stuff. You expect a harvest, and you expect an instant harvest. Marketplace expects an immediate return. Church respects an eventual return. And so we cannot, we're going to have to shed that. I think a lot of training has to change. A lot of principles have got to be revisited. A lot of how we started this is going to have to be retired so that we can begin to revamp it into what works for the king. Another thing is the whole idea, which is a very evangelical mindset, I'll build this business and then I'll just give it away and go to the missions field. Well, why would in the world would you make God war to make you great for you to go and give it back to somebody else, especially his enemy, so you can go preach the gospel? You should have done that first. And so these are some of the just some principles that I've noticed, and I hear people talk about marketplace all the time, and I look at them, and I listen to their conversations, I listen to their counsel, I look at how they refuse to train their people, they refuse to get the best people, I look at how they refuse to try to help their people understand the economies and monetizing things and all that. I look at all of that, and I say, we're not ready. We can get ready, but we are not ready. Because if you're going to go to marketplace, you're dealing with kingdom. If you're going to go into ministry, you're dealing with church. Now, we understand the whole ministerial piece because anybody who does anything for a king who is serving a god is a minister. They understand that, whether it's state or church. But you need to recognize and ask yourself how ready I am to put on my tough gear, my tough garment, and see Jesus in another way. Because, see, there are a lot of things that you condemn marketplace ministers for as unethical, as unrighteous, but you're not using the standards of their world. You're using the standards of the church, and you're condemning these people. You're criticizing them. You're putting their name out as evil because you don't know what it takes to make something from nothing, to go from the bottom to the top, to stay afloat, to have to contend for something so that you can not only have to keep your livelihood, but also so that you can take God to the top. God is sending you in the marketplace to take him to the top of your sphere. That is why he's doing it. He wants to be the best. And that means you're going to have to learn the language and the lingo, and you're going to have to, me, marketplace ministers have a tougher job because they've got to walk the parallel lines. And they're not like this just because they're parallel doesn't mean they're opposing, because they're two opposing and competing streams that they have to blend and balance so that they don't deny their God, and yet they don't diminish their ability to succeed. And that's a tough walk. And that takes counsel, and that takes training, and that takes a lot of mentorship and a lot of counseling or advice from somebody who has done both. And see, most of our churches can't grow because they're full of people who dropped out of the marketplace, who came out of the marketplace for the easy life. So they're not trying to come to church to work hard, and they're trying to find a refuge and a respite from that 5-day-a-week job that they hate. But that's not the mindset of a marketplace minister. And that's just a part of it. You know, this is, again, part of an extensive training and all of that. But I wanted to just, I don't know who this was for today. I pray that it was a blessing to you. But if you're going to, first of all, if you don't have your own business, you're a workplace minister, and you don't call the shots. You work within opportunities to share and not opportunities to profit. Now, if you're a marketplace minister, you're working as an authority, seizing opportunities to profit, and you have the leeway to do it. So one has a very narrow permission base, the other one has a broader permission base, within, of course, the governmental laws and regulations of your area. So I wanted to share that, and I thought it would be a good segue to what we're doing and how we're doing business at PPM Global and how we had to shift. And so we're going to talk a little bit about our advisors who happen to be my co-founders in this venture. We're going to talk a little bit about the changes we had to make and the things we had to learn, and then we'll talk about how we came up with the advisement program and then just chat a bit. Now, we're only going to spend a little bit of time on this because I intend to be into the calls, so don't hang up and say, gee, I'm not going to get my call through. That's not true. You will get your call through. I will answer you, and I want to tell you, don't think that we don't want to answer your calls, but we have found that, you know, we handle certain things. A lot of the questions are answered through the other elements of the program. So what we're going to do is we're going to hear from Prophet Adia to find out what she's got going on. When we go back to Prophet Ashley, we'll have her and Prophet Tala, our two advisors, on the line, and we're going to chat a little bit about what I just shared with you, move into what we are doing here at PPM Global and how we had to alter quite a bit. Remember, I had a church. I started with a church. I had to shift a few things to move into a profitability mindset for our business. And I had to balance the kingdom versus the church. And it's not always an easy walk to do, but God gave us grace and gives us grace to do it. But the first thing I had to do is to realize how Jesus is on Sunday is not how he is in the world on Monday. How he is in church is not how he is in business at the boardroom. What he does in the pulpit is something very different from what he does at the round table, at the negotiation table. He is a different person. And I think that if we're going to have marketplace training, marketplace ministers have got to know Jesus outside of Sunday morning. You need to know the Monday morning and the Monday through Friday Jesus, and then not lose your understanding and appreciation for the Sunday morning Jesus. Those are the two things that we have to do. So, Prophet Ashley.
Yes, indeed.
It's on you. Huh?
Did you want to do Prophet Adia's announcements first or just jump right into the program discussion?
I want to do her announcements first, and then we'll get to the discussion. Because after the discussion, I'm going to go right to our call.
Very good. All right, Prophet Adia, tell us what's going on in the kingdom.
All right, all right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Paula Price Show this lovely Thursday. We want to make sure that you know how you can catch up with Dr. Price following the program. Dr. Price is online all kinds of ways. If you're following her on Twitter, you can catch up with her at Dr. Paula Price. If you are a Facebooker, then you can look Dr. Price up under Apostle Paula Price. If you're a LinkedIn user, Dr. Price is on LinkedIn under Dr. Paula Price. So we want to make sure that you know how you can stay connected with everything Dr. Price is doing. If you want to be a part of our email group, we send several emails out during the week with all of our specials, what we've got going on the online store, new releases and downloads. You can actually join our email community by going to drpaulaprice.com, and you want to click on Contact Us and add your contact information to our list. That way you do not miss out on all of the good things that we deliver throughout the week. So we want you to become a part of our email family. Go to drpaulaprice.com, click that Contact Us link, and add your information so that you can start getting emails from us right away. Now, to let you know what we've got going on, some new releases came out this week on our online store, which you can get to by going to Dr. Price's site, drpaulaprice.com, and you're going to click the link on the left-hand side that says Shop for Products. When you click that link, you'll go to our online store, and you get to be a part of all the new things that we've got going on. We released new audio downloads this week, Time to Control Your Mind, Finding Your Worth in God, Effectual Fervent Prayer. We also released a prayer guide this week. It's the ultimate guide to prayer and consecration, making that a powerful time as you're kicking off 2014. Also, we reintroduced into our store Dr. Price's powerful article on Jesus Christ Confronting Homosexuality. You do not want to miss that. That is actually a free download through our store. You're just going to go on a bunch of your information, and then that article is going to be sent to your email. So lots of powerful things up and on the store this week. We don't want you to miss out. Last but certainly not least, the PAQ, the Prophet's Aptitude Questionnaire, is on sale this month. There's an amazing deal going on with our assessments. Actually, both of our assessment series are on sale. But if you are a prophet of the Most High God, you do not want to miss out on this. You can take the PAQ Intermediate this month for $49. It comes with a 15-minute consultation with one of our advisors with the option to upgrade to a full session. The intermediate assessment is a powerful tool. If you're a prophet and you're wanting to get a sense of your specific area of expertise, your specific faculties and sphere, then you want to take the intermediate assessment. It's not only going to tell you the best and most effective way that you hear from the Lord and how you can be more effective in delivering the word of the Lord, but it's also going to let you know about your specific makeup as a prophet. It goes in a little bit deeper detail. If you took the MAQ and it let you know that your primary office was prophet, this is going to be a great assessment for you to take to hone in on exactly what that means for you and what skills you have. So do not miss this opportunity. $49 until the 31st of January. If you are in the fivefold, you know that you're a teacher, you know you're called to the pastorate, you're an apostle, you are an evangelist, and you know that you have those specific callings as well, then you want to take advantage of our fivefold assessment tool, which is also on sale this month for 25% off. So lots of things for you to take advantage of. Again, join our email list. Go to drpaulaprice.com, click Contact Us, join our email list so that you can start getting these sales right away. God bless.
Amen. That is a lot going on in the world of PPM Global Resources, and we're kicking off the new year with a blast. So I really appreciate that. Prophet Adia always pulling us into the next hottest thing that is off the press of Dr. Paula Price.
Woo! We do have a lot going on. I think we're a little busy, and again, we're only at the top of the year. But I wanted to say, too, Ashley, as we're getting ready to shift into our next segment, I want to say to all of you all, if you've taken the MAQ, don't, and it's told you that you are a prophet or that you're prophetic, if your first or secondary gift comes up prophet and prophetic, then you definitely want to take advantage of this month's discount on the prophetic assessment questionnaire, because it's important. The prophetic aptitude questionnaire, forgive me. It's important that you find out. Now, don't assume that, oh, I took that. You don't know. This thing gives you almost twice as much information, and it's very specific to what and who you are. It tells you how you hear as a prophet, how you speak as a prophet, how God speaks to you, how you deliver the word, your best fear. It tells you the things, the attributes that make you who you are and distinguish you from other prophets. It gives you an entire report on your mantleship, how God really uses your mantle, engages you. It is extraordinarily different. If you have a lot of folk, if you're intercessors and whatnot, you should have your people take it now. You've got a group. You've got a church of people. Hey, it couldn't be more affordable. So, again, if you take an MAQ, it's wonderful. That was telling us who you are as a minister. That's your general call. But now your specialization, your area of prophetic specialization comes up in the prophetic aptitude questionnaire, the PAQ. You want to take it. When the show is over, go to my site, drpaulaprice.com, and say, I'm doing it right now. $49, you can't beat it. That's almost 50% off. So you want to do it right now. All right. Are you ready, Ashley?
I'm ready.
Good. Who do we have on the line? And tell me, I know we have Prophet Tyler, we have you, and you have your guests. So why don't you tell us, again, let us know who your guests are and a little bit of background about who you are as an advisor from PPM Global Resources and even how you got to that position. So I'm going to start with you, and then we'll move to Tyler.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. How I got here. Well, I'll tell the real short story. I met Dr. Price in 2000. I met Prophet Tala in 1999 when I came to ORU. And I knew I came out here to Tulsa, and I would not go back home. Whatever was in store for my life, I knew it was not going to be there, even though I had no idea what was going to be here. And through a series of events, connected with Dr. Price, and she gave me an amazing prophetic word. She did not know who I was going to be in her life. I didn't know who she was or what in the world the prophetic or apostolic was all about. And through, again, another series of events, I ended up becoming friends with Prophet Tala, got involved with the church, and went through the training program, which was then Everlasting Life Bible and Prophets Institute, which is now Kingdom Embassy University. And the rest, of course, is history in the making. But coming through this journey and this process, I have a healthy respect for the system of being trained. I grew up in the church, but did not grow up under the prophetic or apostleship at all. So I know the value of being taught line upon line, precept upon precept, although I was raised in a church that was very orderly and very structured in nature. And so coming forward here to PPM Global Resources, when we resolved the fact that people were coming to us. Initially, people always wanted to take us from Dr. Price. And we were like, what's that all about? People always want to take us everywhere. And then we realized it was the fruit and the product that she was producing that they wanted to take back with them, which was the beginnings of how PPM Global was launched. And so we have our programs set as programs, like she was, I will reflect back on what Dr. Price was saying earlier in the show, not on devotions. These are not devotional programs. These are training programs and development programs. We have two basic patterns that we follow, the ministerial training, and that is to develop someone in their ministry. And then we have the personal life advisements for people to work on themselves personally, oftentimes in preparation for their ministry. The one thing that most people complain about is they get thrown into ministry unprepared, and unprepared is in two ways. Academically unprepared and also emotionally and psychologically unprepared for the calling that you have just been thrown into. Our programs offer solutions to both of those situations, oftentimes simultaneously. And that is what we offer in a nutshell from my perspective. As an advisor, I have ministerial advisee clients and also personal life advisors. My guest on the show today is part of my personal life advisement, who will be transitioning into ministry development whenever his track is up on this area. And I enjoy doing both, working with people. We're friends. We build relationships. We're involved in each other's lives. We Facebook each other. We pray for one another. I get involved in all kinds of things and become the confidant. There is 100% confidentiality with our company. You come through the doors of our company. What happens with us stays with us, as long as it is not illegal, of course, or you're not hurting yourself. And that confidentiality is a key part of our ministry development. We develop leaders
members of churches, people who are trying to find which church to go to. They're in transition, recovery situations, all kinds of walk. People come through to PPM Global Resources. So we advise on a diversity. I mean, you hear Dr. Price every week. That's how she trained us to be, not just single-dimensional, not just prophesying machines, but actual prophets who are in the lives of God's people, setting up his kingdom. And many times we're setting up his kingdom through the people who he has called to be his leaders.
Well, I have to say, I appreciate that, Ashley. And Dave, I think it's very well spoken, very well explained, or as I'm hearing now, very well articulated. Because the important thing is that we all know that prophets are to do so much more, yet we don't have that many outlets or that many well-defined outlets for them to do it, how to train them to do it. So even if we have an outlet, many people do feel, as you pointed out, ill-equipped to go and do what God is putting in their hearts, because most of them don't even have a clear and accurate picture of it, and the others have the picture and can't find out where the opportunity is, and then the third group clearly doesn't know how to get ready for it. So we have a lot of fumbling and bumbling in the body of Christ where very intelligent people, very capable people are not able to exhibit that intelligence and capability simply because they're misplaced, mismatched, et cetera. Before I go to Tal, I want to say, you know, how I got this. There is a statement that says, you know, what doesn't make you bitter makes you better. I was a part of an apostleship group once, and so I was trying to bring this vision. God had been giving it to me so I must have been about maybe 18 years in this thing. And so I was, you know, I had developed credentials, and I developed curricula for apostles and for ministers in general. And so I was trying to get it accepted and all of those kinds of things. Many of you know that if you are a pioneer, you are also an antagonist until what you are pioneering finds a place of necessity in the existing world. And so I was really looking for the place of necessity. I knew it was necessary. God knew it was necessary. I didn't, you know, but the body of Christ, even now, still is trying to learn. So I've already done that. I had begun to work on the assessment. So I was in a meeting, and I, you know, they gave me an opportunity to share it. And an attorney said to me, "Well, I just don't understand why you need an educational program for apostles and prophets, and if you do, why they need to be credentialed. I mean, I can't see any reason for being degreed as an apostle." I'm thinking, but you're sitting around the table with a bunch of people who are saying they're apostles, and you're telling me that what they got from outside the office is more important than the other. And so, you know, I was still, you know, very, very uncertain of myself. So his words really struck. They struck, and they cut me. They cut me very deeply. But they cut me in a way that raised up a fight in me. I knew I was right. And when you know you're right, no matter how crazy people act, you keep pressing forward because you know your day is coming. And so after I got licked my wounds a little bit, stitched myself up, and got ready to get back in the game, I said, "Oh, no, you're not going to tell me that I just spent 18 years of my life on a myth. I'm not doing that." And I began to work on discovering what made apostles and prophets different, why God did it, and why he gave it to me in a way that was so uncommon, you know, to what he's been getting, what other people were doing as apostleship. So, yes, my methods are different. My message is different. My emphasis on apostleship is different because God made me go back to the basic, the raw dog gut roots of this thing, and to build PPM Global and build the programs that I have and the assessment on what he had in mind and what he was doing. And many times we laughed because I came back and told my team what he said. I was just so brokenhearted. And we laughed today. And I said, but that man was the best thing that happened to me. His offense caused me to come up with the best defense. And I'm telling you, I am confident of this thing because that man told me what I did was invalid. And because he invalidated me because of his experience, I had nothing against him, he challenged me. And that challenge is what brought us to PPM Global Resources today. And I got to tell you, I'm excited about it. I haven't been able to find him yet. When I do, I'm going to thank him for that cut because that was the healing cut that cured me of all my ideology and imaginations about what I was doing, and it made me who I am today. I thought that was worth sharing Ashley, because, you know, we often laugh about it, that this guy did me the best favor he could have done me by offending me and what I was doing and attempting to discredit it, and actually made me go out and find out how to accredit what I was doing. So anyway, I'm going to go on now to Prophet Paula. You're next.
Well, good morning. I think that that's great, and that you are, you know, articulated that very well and really painted the picture as to why we do this and what the benefit is of joining one of our programs. Prophet Ashley is absolutely right, you know, in terms of the things that we offer and the ways that our programs can empower people in their calling. And that's primarily what it exists to do, because they're, you know, especially when you're dealing with the apostolic and prophetic still being so new to the church, not only, of course, that having the challenges of finding quality material and ways to train and all of that, which you have systematically resolved over the years through the various works that you wrote, but also because, you know, even the acceptance issue still being prevalent in even the wider body of Christ, us having to find a unique way to just go around all the systems, period, so that we can bring credibility and validation to these positions. And so it's exciting to see this. Now, of course, what I think is funny, which I'd love for you to share a little bit about too, Dr. Price, well, you did actually today, but how we actually got chided from God about marketplace ministry and ended up in the marketplace. because when you were talking about that earlier and just your explanation distinguishing between workplace and marketplace being so done so well, I just was sitting back on the phone laughing about that same individual who was chiding us about that, you know, letting us know that there's, you know, validity to marketplace ministry, and us telling him, no, you know, apostles, don't do that. We're going to foundation, we're going to do church, we're going to do this. And God really showed us how kingdom works and what the difference between kingdom and church really is, and how a lot of times we do use the two words interchangeably, even though they serve two different purposes. So our programs, really, what I like about them is that they're individualized. And that they're customized around the assessment. This is assessment-based coaching that we offer, which is why you hear us talking about the assessment on the line a lot, because we want to be able to develop a program that is going to be specific towards getting you where you need to be in your particular ministry, mantle, and function. And so I love the fact that we're able to have the assessments first, taking the guesswork out of what a person's called to do, having something in black and white that we can build a program around and a structured learning experience so that they actually get to the destination that God designed for them. And I find that my clients, I have also life advisement clients and ministerial advisement clients, and Ashley did a great job defining the difference, rather, between both. I've discovered that with them, they enjoy the fact that we're actually dealing with their life. We have people, of course, from all walks and backgrounds and professions who get on these programs with us. I'm working with other doctors, people who have already gone to school, got their doctorate, doing these things, and said, you know, that's great, I have knowledge, I've got information, but what about me? What does that mean in my life in particular? And what I like about having this program as that supplement and that complement to the ministerial learning experience is that you get something that tells you specifically the road that you need to go on to achieve what you're trying to get done. It's about your life and walk in particular, which I think is great, because you can graduate from Bible college and still not know what to do. Actually, you can graduate from any college and still not know what to do. And you got great education, you have credentials and pieces of paper, and then you have to go back home and say, okay, God, so where do I go from here? What's the next step? Having a coach and having the assessment, having the coach to bring you along in that process, my clients have found invaluable. I was just speaking with one who wasn't able to be on the call today, but I was speaking to one just the other day about finding out what specific type of prophet she is and what she's called to do in the arena. It's one thing to know that you are one, but it would be great to know how you function, what the objectives are for your mantle, what God wants you to accomplish with your particular calling, what are the outcomes. You know, we have an awesome profile and program that we use for drawing that information out, for having you sit down and actually think about your ministerial impact and not just what you want to do, you know, because you start off with this is what I want to do, but we actually go from just even those wants to thinking about fulfillment, putting something in motion, the process of implementing God's purpose in your life, getting into the nuts and bolts. And those are some of the things that tend to take people off guard anyhow when you're starting ministry, okay, because most of it's a wing and a prayer. You just pray it and jump out, okay? Hallelujah, I'm going for it. And so with having that coach, it can help steer and guide, and having a program that gives you not only knowledge and definition about your particular office, but also gives you tools and strategies for how you can execute that effectively. That, I think, is one of the highest benefits of what we offer here at PPM Global, and our clients have benefited from that a lot. My client told me, she's like, oh, I probably would have gone out there and just kind of spray gunned my ministry everywhere if I didn't have this opportunity to sit down and think, how do I want to impact the kingdom for God? What has God really called my mantle to achieve for him? And what does that look like in action? And then what's the target audience for that impact? And how will I know when I've really become successful? She said, these are thoughts I never would have even sat down and done. I would have just gone out there and just did a, you know, tried it. And if it failed, well, that's the sign from God that I shouldn't do it. So that having that coaching wisdom to come along God, we do come alongside God, but to come along and guide and undergird what you're trying to achieve really helps you become more grounded and stabilized in this. We've talked to how many people, Dr. Price, yourself included, who have said, I wish I had me when I was starting. I wish I had someone who I could have asked questions to, who gotten the wisdom, gotten the training, and even beyond the book knowledge, just those things that go into the nuances and that expertise that is needed to help you navigate the ministry terrain. We train a lot of people about their gifting, but we ignore the terrain the gifting has to work in and how they can begin to navigate that successfully. And I think that that's another element, in addition to the wonderful things that Prophet Ashley already articulated, that our programs really do bring to the table.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think that if I were listening in, I would be not only inspired, but I would also be motivated to go and investigate this further, and that is why I'm taking this time. It's January. It's the top of the year. It's when people make New Year's resolutions. It's when people are most introspective, where people are constantly examining themselves, scrutinizing their actions, their history, their path, their methods. So that's one of the reasons why I decided to make this show a sort of an answer, or at least an opportunity for you to go and figure this out. To me, I think what I would love to see everyone do is understand why God did what he does. Most ministry is about our call and not about his purpose, not about his methods, not about his objectives. And so we do give you that. We only have a few more minutes, so I want to go, and I'm going to go back to Ashley, let her just have her advisee give a few words. And Paula, do you have one?
No, I was trying to catch one down, but I think scheduling-wise, it just, you know, we didn't work out with the time frame.
Good enough. Okay, so then we'll let that happen. And Ashley, right after he speaks, we'll let you wrap it up quickly. We'll go into some commercial, some announcements, and then we'll start at the top of the hour with our caller.
Absolutely. Well, I have on the line my client, Lovey. He is a regular on the Paula Price Show. He has received wisdom and counsel on both sides from you, Dr. Price, directly first, and under your instruction took the assessment and then sought God, did his fact-finding, and got on the program. He is on a life advisement to work out some of those other things that he wants to see to ensure that when he steps into his ministry position on whatever level, that he is everything that God made him to be, and he is the man of God that he wants to be. So, Lovey, welcome to the Paula Price Show. I would love for you to give your feedback concerning the program, what you thought about it before you signed up, and if it's met your expectations, and what you would recommend to someone else.
Oh, absolutely. This has exceeded my expectation beyond a shadow of a doubt. Like I said, in our numerous advisements, I didn't even know who Dr. Price was. So when I even got involved with you guys, I came across the Prophet's Handbook, read it. I was blown away by the reading. So I looked up Dr. Price, found out she has like some type of ministry going on, did some more research, YouTuber, found her website, found that she had an assessment, I said, well, let me just see what this is about. But I'm like, the worst I can do is lose $65, and that be that, whatever. Took the test, had my device with Prophet Ashley, and I was just absolutely blown away. I was not. The result that came back was just totally mind-blowing. And what I really like about it is that the advisors at PPM Global, they don't just say, here you go, here's your results, you know, God bless you. But they actually sit down and go down with you and explain what this assessment actually means. So they kind of, you know, they kind of highlight, this is where you're at, this is how long it should take, this is your strength, these are your weaknesses, this is your readiness, this is, you know, this is how we can get you there in X amount of years, a month, or whatever. So it was just an awesome experience, and I got really say, since then, I have been, as Prophet Ashley could probably let anybody know, I have been one of his biggest advocates. I have talked to numerous people, friends. I've had even spoke to a few of my church leaders, spoke to them about it. They took the test. And almost everybody who I've told about took the test, they all echoed the same thing. So I can really generally say anybody out there who is second-guessing or on the fence, Take the assessment. It's not a scary thing. Although I will admit I was scared. I was a little nervous, but there's nothing to be scared about. I think sometimes that we forget that there's nothing wrong to know that what your strengths and your weaknesses are. And for me, I needed that. And then my advisor, she is an advisor. I mean, I've never had anybody besides like a athletic coach follow up on me so much. I mean, Prophet Ashley emails me, checks up on me on Facebook. I mean, she really takes her job very serious, and that's what I need currently in my life. I kind of need, like, that supervision. I need to know that I'm not, quote-unquote, a client, although I am, but it's kind of like you build that rapport and that personal relationship, so I absolutely would recommend this to any and everybody.
Powerful. Powerful. Well, first of all, we enjoy you as one of our clients, and we thank God for you, and I'm excited about your growth, even from our first, you know, encounter with you. I'd like to say to everyone before I let Ashley wrap up her comments with her client, I want to say we have, we just did our statistics, and correct me if I'm wrong, we have like, 42 different kinds of professions represented in our client base. So there's a place for you, and God, you know, the prophet is meant to tap into what God has to be responsible for. So it does work. So, Ashley, I'm sure you'd like to wrap it up, so I will let you do that, and then you'll just lead us into our announcement.
All right. Well, thank you, Lovey, for your words and the reference to the program and the testimony of it. And he's been on the program less than a year, and his life has already changed. We are not here to drag out anything longer than it needs to be, but also not to preempt anything as well. So thank you for calling in. He rearranged his schedule to be here on the show today because also, as the word of the Lord came forth, he is in a job transition, praise God. We'll say it like that, right, sir? So thank you for joining us today. I'm going to put you back on mute. And we are going to transition into an announcement or two, and then we're going to get into those calls with the prayer requests that we have lined up for Dr. Price. So stay tuned. You are listening to The Paula Price Show at www.blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show.
How would you like to take the guesswork out of discovering your calling and purpose by using one simple tool? PPM Global Resources Ministry Assessment Questionnaire offers a variety of solutions for all aspects of the ministry spectrum for people just like you who are seeking sound wisdom, direction, and guidance to help you get into your place. The Ministry Assessment Questionnaire is specially designed to identify and assess what God has put in you, whether you are called to a fivefold office or ministry gifting. Going beyond a personality test or gift survey, you'll learn about your strengths and weaknesses, emotional intelligence,
ministry readiness and reliability, leadership capability, the right education you need, and so much more. Your ministry assessment questionnaire comes with a 30-minute advisement session to review your assessment with one of our trained advisors, who will walk you through your results and customize the best plan of action for you. To get started now, go to ppmglobalresources.com and fill out your personal profile. Assess. Advise. Apply. Achieve. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it.
Spiritual leadership for ministries is an ever-changing frontier. There are thousands of books on what makes for a great leader, how to get the best out of your people, how to grow your church, or expand your vision. However, there are few books to tell a leader when they're doing it right. Of course, there are the signs of progress and proof of outcomes, but as a leader, wouldn't you really like to know the truth? There are 10 things every leader should know who sincerely want to be successful in ministry. What type of ministry do I really have? What type of members does my leadership attract? What are the gifts and callings currently active in my ministry? What is the ministerial readiness of each individual? Who is the most compatible with my vision? Do I have the people I need to achieve the vision? Do I have the right people in the right positions? Do I know the hidden potential within my ministry? Are my people sufficiently equipped to replicate my message? Not having answers to these questions has proven to make spiritual leadership challenging for many ministers. The key to great leadership is producing great people. Any organization is only as strong, effective, and excellent as the people that comprise it. When you know your people, you know your organization. Rediscover yours by considering the Standardized Ministry Organizational Assessment. Sign up online today by visiting www.ppmglobalresources.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Paula Price, host of the Paula Price Show, reminding you to revisit last week's program at blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show.
That's right. You don't want to miss last week's show. You can go back anytime 24-7 like Prophet Adia told us and Dr. Price just reminded us in her announcement. Last week, Dr. Price dropped the 2014 word, well, part of her 2014 prophecy. So you want to go back and listen to that. And as we always say here, spread the word. Share the link. Tell everybody you know. Hey, somebody knows what's going on in the kingdom, and that somebody is Dr. Paula Price. Dr. Price, speaking of what's going on in the kingdom, are you ready to get to these callers?
I am eager. And do I have some callers? Did a few people call in today?
Oh, yeah. It's the new year. Actually, there's a lot of people on this show today. I mean, we always have a nice showing, but there's more.
To God be the glory.
All right, we have callers here. They're calling in from all over the country here, from Kansas, Florida, Alabama. So first on the line is Pat from Kansas, and she needs clarity, Dr. Price, on moving forward. Her daughter passed away in October, and she really just needs some direction about how to move forward from that. Pat from Kansas, welcome to the Paula Price Show. You are live on the line.
Thank you.
Hi, Pat. I would like to say how are you doing, but from what I'm hearing, you have a major trial that you're walking through. How do you feel you're going through it? How do you feel you're handling it?
A bit somewhat questionable, somewhat confused. It started in December of 2012. I knew with the diagnosis that it was a test that I was going to be going through. I knew that it was a trial, and I knew it was a season.
But did I lose her, Ashley?
Hello?
No,
did I lose
her?
Okay. The last thing I heard you say, Pat, was that it was a season.
Right. When I entered it in December of 2012, when she was diagnosed, I knew that it was a test, and I knew it was I was going to be going through a season. I knew this was something that was not your ordinary, something that happened just ordinary. Matter of fact, it was something that was very rare.
Well, how old was your daughter?
She passed when she was 23.
23. Wow. I want to say, first of all, please accept our condolences, and I'm sure all of us listening today want to let you know that we're praying for you. It is not easy. I don't care if it's 23 years or 23 days. It is difficult to lose a child, and it takes time. And so the first thing I want to tell you is just please accept our condolences. Our intercessors will be praying for you. But I want to give you just a little bit of counsel. Can I give you just a little bit of counsel?
Yes.
Here's what I want to say, because we, as again, I'm dealing with us in our charismatic, free in Jesus, Jesus paid it all kind of environment. Take the time it takes to grieve your daughter. And don't feel like you have to avoid. Let me back this up. Don't feel like you have to evade your grief by doing something to prove to everybody you have faith in God. This is a difficult time. It is an emotional blow. If you took a physical blow, you would need some recovery time. It is an emotional blow, and you need to do that. So don't evade the process. Grief is healthy. It allows you to find a new – are you there?
Yes.
Okay. It allows you to find a new place in your soul to place your daughter for her memory to stay with you. So I want to say this to you, because most Christians really, we handle loss poorly, because most of our preachers have taught us to handle it poorly. So take that time. I know that you say you want to find out how to go on. Well, the first thing you want to go on is deal with the reality that this is one of those absolutes in life that nobody can really explain. If I gave you 97 reasons right now, it would not diminish your grief one bit. You lost something that came from your body, that came from your womb, and you're going to feel it. So take my wisdom. Take this advisor's wisdom. Take the time it takes. You don't have to fake it to let everybody know death doesn't bother you and, well, I'm going to see her again so I don't feel bad. You are going to need to recover. Grief, the purpose of grief is a reassignment of the emotions that you once devoted to life that you now must devote to a memory. Do you understand?
Yes.
Okay. Take that time. If you need, you know, we're here for you at PPM Global Resources. You can ask for prayer. You can also arrange for counseling. But I'm going to tell you, if you got 97 answers and 97 reasons as to why this happened and why your daughter, it would not relieve the grief process, because it has to happen. And I want to tell you that. So I'm going to pray for that for you, because I want you to know that God is not judging you. This was not a judgment call on your life or anything like that. This is one of those things that only God can make sense to you about. And he's not going to do it while you're still healing. I'm going to tell you that right now. God is not going to do it while you're still healing. Because you know what? You talk truth to a healed soul, and a broken soul, you talk comfort. Do you understand what I'm saying to you?
Yes.
Okay, so let me now you said you wanted some other prayer. What else did you want me to pray for in addition to you just working through this? Was it work or something?
It was basically in the ministry.
Uh-huh.
Just the whole process of going through this was challenging. I did get before God and to say, what's going on, you know? I feel like the outcome wasn't what I expected. And some of the people that were praying with me and even my sons weren't expecting the outcome. And it kind of stopped them in their tracks. You know, my other son is going to college, and he's like, Mom, I don't know what to do. And I said, well, does this have to do with your sister? And he said, yes, it does have to do with her, but I'm at a roadblock right now, and I don't know what to do. And my sons have questions like, what happened, Mom? What happened?
I know. And you know what? The hardest part to know about what happened is when people tell you that God is going to do all of these magnificent things, and he doesn't. Because God is sovereign. And so I'm not, like I said, I could give you 1,000 answers. I can give you 97, but it won't help you. Right now, you need comfort because you need healing. You know, you don't take a person who has gotten sick and beat them because they got sick. Or even just to discomfort them. God wants to comfort you, but this is your opportunity to know God in a way that many people don't know. And so that's what's going to happen. I'm going to pray for two things. I'm going to pray for your son to go to school because he needs to go to school. He needs to not let this 1 or 2 year window derail his entire life. So that's what I do know, that's God. And so he needs to finish school. And he needs to recognize that life happens. You cannot stop your destiny because life happens in the now. You have to pursue destiny even when life is unagreeable. And so, and you too have your destiny. God is just allowing you to revamp your destiny based on a witness and a knowledge that you have right now. So I'm going to pray for that. You have a destiny, and I can tell you, even if you ask God 1,000 times, he's not going to answer you. I'm telling you he's not going to answer you because it's not going to be an answer that's going to be helpful. There are things that God has to figure out in his realm that even if he could tell us, our brain can't wrap itself around it. And so that's when you're going to have to rely on and receive the consolations of the Holy Ghost. And there is a consolation. There is a consolation. And it's not going to be far off. I mean, by the time you get to June, you and God will have resolved this. I can tell you that. By the time you get to June, you and God will resolve this. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for Pat. Lord, first of all, I'm asking that you would take her heart, the heart of this mother in your hands, and God, console it and comfort it for such a deep loss. I'm asking that you would give her peace in places that she never thought. Bring back her ability to sleep at night. Bring back her ability to rest in your arms and to know that all things work together for the good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. Asking God that you would give her the ability to know you in a way that she could never know you before, but also give her the ability to go forward in life with this great love. God, I'm asking that you would take her son in your arms and speak to him that he would not derail his destiny because of the frustration he feels right now. I'm asking that you cover this family, that you cause them to remember the good things, to remember the good times and the joy. And I'm asking that you would right now keep the enemy from taking advantage of their confusion by causing anger to replace acceptance of your will. Lord, let not anger, let not bitterness and frustration step in on this matter, but cause her to remember that no matter what happens, God is God. And let her remember that God, too, lost a child, and because of his power, he knew he would get him back. God, I thank you that you would let her know that you are 100% in touch with her sorrow, but you're also in touch with her calling and her purpose to you in this life. Give her peace in the family, peace in the home. I command rest on this thing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Pat?
Yes, thank you, Dr. Price. And June would have been her birthday.
I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Speak up a little bit.
June would have been her birthday, the month of her birthday.
Oh, I wouldn't have known that. That is powerful. But he said by June, you're going to understand it.
Thank you.
So listen, here's what I want to say. We're here for you. This is not just a one phone call and hope it works out. If you need us, you have our number. Go to our website. You have our number. You can call Prophet Ashley and just see how we, you know, if you want some counseling. We have a prayer thing. You can put a prayer request on Facebook. But we understand more than you think we do. We understand, and I know that this is going to work out for you.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. God bless you. Stay in touch.
Thank you.
Amen. Prophet?
You know I'm tore up, right?
Me, I know, right? October, you know, that's, oh, Jesus. But, you know, this is just some difficult times that we're in as the body of Christ. And, you know, here is where you find out why you serve God. You know, did you serve God because the sun shined all the time, or did you serve God because he made the sun and the rain? And sometimes life happens for us to recognize that God doesn't go anywhere. We will always see our saved loved ones again. That doesn't mean you don't miss them in the natural. You do. You miss them. And I want to say to anyone else out there, if you're dealing with grief, understand grief has an important role in your life. You need to take time to grieve the loss of something that was bound to your soul. Your soul is trying to figure out what happened, and now you have to reassign that relationship with that person to your memory and get and reassign it in a healthy way. So I hear God saying, if that's the case, stop evading your grief. Stop dodging it so that you don't have to face the reality that it is what it is. But begin to let God heal you. If you had a physical blow, you would get healing, you'd get medication, you'd do what you need. This is an emotional blow, and it is serious and sometimes more severe and more long-lasting. Allow the Lord to heal you. For you who are Christians and you want to be angry with God because God let this and that happen, you really need to make sure you're accurate in your assessment. Because, see, God is not making a decision on what we know about our loved ones. He's making his decisions about what he knows about his loved ones and in the world that they're in and the times that they're living. So make sure that you're very clear on what you feel as his child, because the wonderful thing about having someone who knows you personally, knows you intimately as a friend, whether they love you no matter what and trust you no matter what in the good, the bad, and the ugly, and that is what God is asking of us. He made us his family. He made us his friends. He brought us close to him because we of all people would understand when he has to do what he has to do or permit what he has to permit or whatever. So I want to give us just a different thing so we can get on with our life, because something like this can stop you for decades, and great things that the Lord has on your agenda, great things he has on the table will never happen because you've not been able to reconcile this and effectively and healthily reassign your feelings for your lost loved ones to a place that is safe for you and that is wholesome for your calling. Anyway, wanted to get that out today. I thought it was very important that I say it. Who is next, Ashley, on our call?
All right, we have next on the call Dale, D as in David, Dale, from Florida, and she is calling for prayer for her business, Dr. Price. So, Dale, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Hello.
Hi, Dale from Florida. How are you doing?
Turn it down. I can.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Dale. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
Great, great. How is it in Florida? I know you're going to tell me it's warm, it's sunny, and I'm going to feel really, really bad, but I'm going to let you say it anyway. How is the weather in Florida?
Oh, it's not bad today. We are having a lot of rain.
Okay. Well, that makes me feel better. That makes me feel just a little bit better because we're at 35 degrees here, you know? And so that makes me feel better. I know.
Okay.
So, Dale, tell me about your business and what kind of prayer do you want?
Okay, I have a business where I take care of developmentally disabled individuals.
Uh-huh.
And I have two homes. And I'd like just prayer for peace, protection, and each resident to have good health and be safe.
Well, I can agree with that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to jump into prayer because it sounds like you already have something very, very effective going on, and I'm going to ask God to cover it. Father God, I thank you, first of all, for Dale's life. I thank you for the courage it took for her to step out on your word and step out in faith in you and establish her business. I thank you that her business is ministering to and serving such a tender and precious part of your population. God, I'm asking that you continue to bless her life. Lord, that you increase it on all sides as she is able to bear it. I'm sending forth the protections of the Holy Ghost around it. We encamp the protections of God around her facilities, God. I'm asking that you give her quality servants, quality workers, quality administrators, quality of practitioners and caregivers to handle these people. But I'm asking that you continue to give her favor in her land and that you bless the works of her hands on all sides according to your wisdom and your prudence. And we bless you for doing this, Father. And also, God, strengthen her health and give her courage of heart and calm of soul as she goes forward into her future. And we bless you for this, Father, in Jesus' omnipotent name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. And you know, remember, you heard me say that you can re-listen. So if you want to go back and re-listen to this prayer, it will be on Blog Talk, Paul Price Show. You can go there. We'll tell you how to do it again so you can get this prayer and you can play it again and again and again.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
And God bless you too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, Prophet, who is next?
All right, we have Leon from Alabama. And while you're talking to Leon, Dr. Price, I'm going to get some more people lined up for you. But Leon is calling from Alabama, and he needs prayer for direction and his calling. Leon, you are live with Dr. Paula Price.
Yes.
Hello, Leon from Alabama. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm fine.
Are you sure? You sound like you're a little bit war weary.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of surprised that I get to talk to you because I tried before and I just couldn't get through, but I'm fortunate today to get through, so.
That is great. Well, I'm glad you did. Now, is this your first call? Is this your first time calling?
Well, not first time, just first time getting through, actually, to get to speak with you.
Okay. So, Well, let's find out. What's on your heart?
I wanted prayer for direction and basically calling because I'm just different. Where I'm at, I'm up under teaching, but I seem to know things, and I challenge what I'm taught, and sometimes they'll hear me and say, "Oh, I never seen it like that before," and you know, but yet it's still things that I just can't agree with, you know. And it's kind of hard because I don't have like a reference point or beginning. It's like I get it from the Lord. It's through revelation knowledge, and it's nothing out of order. It's actually in order, and it's just something that I do submit to authority. I do submit so. Whoever I'm under, my pastor, I mean, I have, I'm very submissive, so. And that's,
let me ask you a question, Leon. You say you're very submissive, so who are you challenging when you are disagreeing?
Well,
who are you challenging or disagreeing with?
Like when there's, like, Sunday school, there's an opening for me to Sunday school teachers and subjects and things that come forth, there's an opening for me to pretty much ask questions. You know, like, just for instance, if someone says, well, we're gods, you know, in the earth and such, and I challenge that because I say, well, I have a title, and that's called the sons. I'm a son of God. We are the sons of God, actually. If you are led by the Spirit of God, then you are the sons of God. And I say, well, how come if you speak that and you say you have that title, how come you attack me when I say I have the title that Jesus gave me as being a son of God? And it's like I challenge
I'm going to go back. I hear what you're saying, so I want to go back to something. But you say you haven't studied it, you haven't read it, you haven't researched it, you just got it by revelation that these people are wrong. Is that right?
Not everything. Not everything is wrong, but just some things. I respect that everyone I know has something to give, and I'm open for that. But the things that that aren't, I don't think everything is it lines up correctly.
Well, how many years of Bible study have you had, Leon?
Well, I've been saved since I was 17 years old, and I'm 40 now.
But I didn't ask you about salvation. How many years of actual formal, I went to school, I studied this, I've studied what they're teaching. How many years of that
have
you had?
Well, I haven't.
Okay, so you really don't know if they're right or wrong, or if you're even understanding them right or wrong, because you're going by what you feel. Am I getting it correct or not?
Yeah, and that's the thing. I know I want to have that. That's the reason why I'm listening today.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to what you all were saying, and especially in the beginning, and I said I really do need to be up under some good teaching, you know, for direction, and that's why I was praying for direction and calling, you know.
Wow. Well, you have a great start. I think that you've made a great start. So I'm going to tell you three things that I'm going to recommend, because you obviously are sincerely looking to find out how you can plug into God the way He ordained you to. And I think that's great. The first thing I'm going to suggest is that when the show is over, Leon, I want you to go to my website, drpaulaprice.com, and I want you to take an assessment. Because that assessment is going to be step one to answering the questions and confirming other things. Because there are some things God is truly speaking to your heart, and you're understanding it, but you're frustrated because nobody is seeing it. And you know what God is saying on the inside, but nobody is recognizing it on the outside. And that is very frustrating when God is pulling you into Him. So I want you to do that. I want you to go there. I want you to click the button. Say, I want you to take an assessment, and I want you to take the MAQ. It's going to give you two options. Take the MAQ. When you do that, what's going to happen is you'll take the assessment, and then you'll get an opportunity to be advised by, you heard our advisors earlier, you'll get an opportunity to be advised by one of our staff advisors. May not be those two. We have several. But you will be able to get a 30-minute advisement where they're going to walk through that assessment with you so you can understand how God built you and how you think. From there, they're going to offer you a couple of opportunities to act on your assessment results. Sometimes people act on them, other times they don't. But you seem to be one who will. So you'll get a couple of plans that they'll recommend to you or suggest for you to act on your assessment results. That part of that action includes an opportunity to train, because you have a desire. To me, you're kind of like, you know, a little bit like Apollos. You know, you've got some knowledge of God and you've got zeal, but you need that grounding so people can take you seriously.
Mm.
Because that's what I hear you saying. I hear you saying, I want to be taken seriously, and yet I'm not taken seriously. I know God is speaking to me, but even I can't quite rest on what he's saying because I don't think I have enough background knowledge to check it out. And so we want to offer you that. We want to offer you the background knowledge. We want to offer you the opportunity to find out who you are, how God made you. We want to give you the chance to get the ability to communicate. So if you're going to say someone is wrong, you're going to have, you will be able to have real world hands-on proof, not just your feeling. Because in the, whether it's church, business, or whether it's any other profession, we can have an instinct. You can have your instincts. You can have your hunches. But if you don't, if you aren't able to put them on paper and compare them to what else is on paper, you're never going to be validated.
Yes.
And so this is what I hear God saying to you. So I'm praying, I'm going to pray for your calling, but I'm going to pray that you care enough about the answer to your calling to go and take that assessment and then to follow the process through. You are one of the people that motivated our company, motivated me to do what I'm doing. People like you around the world, I know God is speaking. I know I have something to offer. I know that I have value to the king and to the kingdom. And yet I can't get anybody to hear it. Well, we give you that opportunity to come out of the background and out of our anonymity into the foreground of what God is using today. So make sure you follow my counsel. I think you're going to be a great candidate for our program. So let me pray for you right now. Father, I thank you for Leon. God, I thank you for his heart. I thank you for his desire for you, his zeal, and God, even his love for you right now. He wants to be used by you. He wants you to use him, to speak to him, and to let him speak to your body. So, God, I'm asking that you continue to bring him all the way down through the corridor of readiness. Lord, causing him to stop at the different doors along the way to pick up the training and the abilities, the skills he needs to represent you rightly and to represent you soundly in the earth today. I'm asking God that as he goes through this assessment, he taps into what it is that makes him who he is to you and what will make him who you need him to be to his body. I'm asking God that you give him peace at heart and that you give him rest on this matter in Jesus' name. And we bless you for it, God. Amen and amen.
Yeah.
All right. So I expect to see your name come up. So, hey.
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Price. Thank you.
You're very, very welcome. God bless you, Leon.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye. Prophet Ashley?
Yes, ma'am.
How are we doing?
We're doing good. I'm lining them up. You're knocking them down.
Lining them up and knocking them down. Well, I'm doing the knocking down. Okay, you're lining them up. All right, I'm ready. Who is next? I'm ready to talk to my family today. Who is next?
All right, we have Natalia from Michigan. She's calling in on behalf of her sister who is having... She's married. Her sister's married, and they are having problems conceiving. So, Natalia, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Hello, Dr. Price.
Hello, Natalia. What a beautiful name. And I listen, if I'm cold in Tulsa, Oklahoma, it must be a little bit chilly in Michigan, huh?
Yeah. This morning it was -3.
Ooh. How do you guys survive it?
Hopefully nobody is going out. We really had a pretty bad storm up here Sunday and Monday, so a lot of people have not really been circulating a lot. As of yesterday, there were more people on the road, so for the most part, everyone has pretty much have been snowed in.
Oh, wow. Well, then I'll shut up and I won't complain about my 35 degrees, okay? I'm just going to go ahead on a 25.
Well, 35 here it would be a heat wave.
I'm thinking it. Well, Natalia, I want to ask you, I know we're going to talk about your sister in a minute, but Natalia, I need to ask you two things. Number one, where do you go to school, or are you in school right now? And number two, do you sing?
Pardon me?
Do you sing?
Solo on a hill far away. No, I don't sing.
God, you don't sing. But there is something very, very melodic, very... musical about your voice. If you don't sing, then you must be very poetic, but it's in your spirit. And I think that you have that kind of aesthetic side of God where you can really make it make sense to a lot of people. Now, where are you in school right now, or are you planning to go?
No, I am not in, but I do plan on going through your courses.
Great. Well, the reason that I'm asking you is because you're in a time for, you know, there's a time and a season for every purpose and every work under the sun, and you're in a time now for really building yourself up. that's the season that you're going to be on. And so God has is going to use you because your calling is coming due. I see a huge dial with your name on it. You know those old rotary dials? And it's like God is dialing you up. He's dialing your number. He's dialing you up. And so you're going to, you're very soon, by the time that thing returns from where he stopped it, you're going to find yourself ready to learn God in a way that you never thought you could.
Good.
Because it's time. I see you read your Bible. I can see the Bible in your hands. You read it, but it's like frustrating you. You get to such a place, and you're like, I don't know. I don't know. You know, how am I going to use this? How am I going to apply this? And the Lord said you've allowed frustration to cause you to drop many, many things that you used to chase him about. And so you're getting another chance. You're coming into another chance in God and another opportunity to do it. Now, the other thing I want to ask you is about your husband.
No, I'm not married.
Were you married before?
No.
Well, you're about to be because I see a husband. Now, I don't know if you want to be or not, but I see a husband. It's not going to be Monday. It may not be 2014, so don't go and say, I'm going to go tomorrow and find a guy. And I usually don't give this work, okay, because I have to give all these kind of caveats and disclaimers and everything with the saints because, you know, we're like, okay, if you said it today, it means Monday. No, God is going to start dealing with you about that. And here's why. He said for the next 10 months, he's going to force you to give of yourself because you don't like doing that. So you're going to be giving of yourself. And he's going to have you giving of yourself your time, your effort, your gifts, your talents. And I'm telling you, there is a singer in your gut that you are not ready to deal with. That person's going to come up because as a little girl, I see a singer. So God is going to do that. Now, whether you'll be using it in ministry, whether you'll do it with, I don't know. But it's that person is in there. And that God also shows me that that singer is slanting toward a psalmist because you're very revelatory. You're very insightful. You're that person that's going to go and try to dig up where God is in the midst of it when nobody wants to be bothered with him because that's who you are today. So I wanted to get that on the table because your future, sweetheart, is about to take off.
Okay. Praise God.
All right, now don't go out there and pick up a date. Don't get on ChristianNothing.com. Don't help the Holy Ghost. Do me a favor. Don't help God out.
Okay.
Because when you help God out, you are more likely to get the fleece than the faith. Don't help him. Remember I said that, so you can go back and listen to this. But this thing is taking off without you. You are not going to have to do a whole lot of work in this. So I don't know whether it's the next couple of years, next 3 years or so, but I'm telling you, God, in the meantime, to get you ready, God is going to force you to give of yourself.
Okay.
And you know what that means, don't you?
Yes.
Because, you know, you got everything in control. It's all nice and neat. You know how we do. You got it all worked out.
Right.
He's not going to work with you on that. No, no. Now, let's talk about your sister.
Okay, she and her husband, they've been married, I think, for about 8-9 years, and she's been having some problems conceiving. I think she said she had endometriosis, and that was, so she had to take some sort of birth control to help control the pain. So if it wasn't for that, you know, she would not take the birth control pill so she could conceive. So, but she wants to try again, she and her husband.
Well, have they dealt with the endometriosis?
Yes. She said she has had, I think, laparoscopy and had it dealt with, and had that. That was a while ago. I'm not sure how long ago it was, but that's it as far as I know.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure, you know, because sometimes we have to make sure we finish the whole process. So I'm going to pray for your sister, but I'm going to pray for you too. I know you called for your sister, but God had to, because he knows your love for your family, your love for family, he had to get you to do that for you to reach me.
Okay.
All right? So, Father, first of all, I want to lift up Natalia to you. I want to lift up, God, her life. I want to lift up her resolve, her, Lord, she's fervent. And, God, I thank you that even as frustrated as she's been about how things have turned out, she still maintains a fervent love for you, a fervent devotion to you, God. And so I'm asking that you would bring her back online. I just saw you dialing her up, bringing her back online. So I'm asking you, Holy Father, glory to God, that you would bring her back online in you, to bring her life back into the momentum and the activity that she had several years back. I'm looking at 5 years back. And so, God, I'm asking you to do that. And then I'm asking, God, that you will begin to groom her for destiny. God, I thank you that Esther grooming is about to take over her life. God, cause her to see things differently, to begin to come out of her comfort zone, to begin to expand her circle and even expand her reach. I'm asking you to do that. God, I'm also asking that you would lead her to take that assessment so we can be a part of getting her ready for her future. Now, Lord, I'm asking you also to begin to show her the works of her hands. I see her hands, and I'm asking you to begin to let her know what it is that she's going to do that she's hidden. God, she worked, and then she closed her hands and put them behind her back as if not to offer them. So now I'm asking that you for you to enable her to revive those things that she dropped, revive those things that she let go, pull them out of the bottom drawer, pull them out of the closet. Lord, I see her digging in her closet for stuff that she used to do long, long time ago. And so I'm asking you that you will cause her to bring it back and let her know that you're breathing on her life right now. You're breathing. You're breathing on her life. You're breathing on her hopes. You're breathing on her soul, God. And you're going to bring her into purpose. God, I thank you that Jeremiah 29:11 is for her today and that she's getting ready to enter into the future you hoped for her and the future that you prepare. I bless you for her life. I bless you that you're ordering every step. I bless you that you're connecting her with her friends, even the new friend circle that you have her entering in, and causing her courage to come back and her boldness, Lord, to rise up from her belly and to begin to lead her and guide her into not only all truth, but into all purpose that you have for her. Because this is an all-purpose woman. So many things she can do. So many things she can get done if she puts her mind to it. So I'm asking, God, that you cause her to see her value to you and her usefulness, executable chakra, to you in the awesome name of Jesus. Now, God, we offer up the sister's womb to you. Lord, you've gone through the effort of healing it and cleansing it. So now, Lord, we command the spirit of conception. I dispatch the spirit of conception on her womb. Lord, I command everything that's blocking it, Lord, to open up and give place to the child that you're sending. God, I dispatch the daughter into that womb that you've decreed before the foundation of the world. And Lord, I thank you that it is done, that it is a full-term pregnancy, that there's no hardship, there'll be no hemorrhaging, there'll be no discomfort, and God, it will be a healthy baby in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Price.
You're very welcome, Natalia. Stay in touch, babe.
Will do. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay, woman of God, what you got next?
All right, next on the line, we have Gwen from Virginia. She was so funny because whenever I said her name, she said she was saying, "Pick me, Ashley, I'm ready."
I know.
Hello?
Hi, Gwen.
Okay. Hi, Dr. Price.
How are you, Gwen? I'm glad to talk to you today. How's it going?
Yes. Oh, it's going okay. I mean, you know, I can't complain. God has been good to me. But my request today is I need prayer for guidance. I have taken your assessment, and, you know, I did need more, you know, educational training in the Bible. And, you know, my assessment has said I need to get, like, into an 18-month program. But I had already signed up at a Christian college, so I was like, okay, I have that. But now they're saying that I don't no longer qualify for the grant. And I'm, like, 58, and I can't afford, you know, I don't think I can afford to take a loan at this age for school. So that's where I'm at. And, you know, and I was planning on, you know, getting an advisor in a couple months because a little money was going to be freed up from that. So that's where I'm at. It's like, okay, God, what? I'm not going to sit here and die. I've been through way too much. I'm just coming back to life, and I'm going to hold on to this light and life that I have now.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, one of the things that I have learned is that, and I'm going to pray, this is my prayer for you, Gwen, that God
mm-hmm.
tells you what he's doing. Because there are good ideas, and you know, and they're God ideas.
Okay.
And sometimes our good idea, it works well in a good season until sovereignty steps in, or you come up onto a moment where God has a sovereign intervention on your clock.
Mm.
What I see is that God has sovereignty scheduled for you. So I'm going to pray that you are able to connect with the God idea that he has for you. Because in your world, 58 was time for you to get ready for 60. Now, I don't know what's happening in 60 for you for 60, but 50, this is where you are. You're hitting a destiny moment in your life. And
okay.
you almost see it because you get these flashes in your mind. You almost see yourself doing something, and then they run. They run from you. It flashes, and it runs. Why? Because it's in your spirit, and it's making its way from your spirit to your soul, from your soul to your heart, and eventually, you know, through prayer and intercession, from your heart to your mind.
Okay.
So, you know, so you have to have a destiny check. The other thing is you have to recognize that just because we get a word from God doesn't mean God doesn't have the way to make it happen. And we oftentimes, and it happens to us here at PPM Global, we see it all the time. People will get a word from God and then go and work it out their way.
Hmm.
And so, God, you know, because God has what he has. Now, I know that he has a plan for you and that you fit. I keep seeing schedule. You are, God has rescheduled your life for his purpose and his destiny. And so I'm looking at this schedule in the spirit, and you're going to have to be at peace. Number one, you are not going to dry up on the vine. That will not happen because you don't want to. You realize a lot of people at 58 talk about, well, I'm ready to rest now. I've been working all my life. I just need a break. You know, you're talking about starting a whole other career.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to dry up on the vine. But you have to learn in the way your latter years, you've got to learn to be led by the Spirit of God and not just by your wisdom and not just by opportunity. Something in your life has gotten you really good at sensing opportunities and seizing the moment, but this is not that time of your life. This time, you're going to have to be led by God. I see he said to tell you, Daddy wants to take you by your hand.
Okay.
That's the word he just gave me. He said, tell her Daddy wants to take her by the hand. And I see you as a little girl. I'm looking at you. You're somewhere between 5 and 7. And God is standing beside you. You're dressed up in this cute little outfit, but he reaches down from heaven, and he's taking you, and he grabs your hand, and he's making you walk side by side with him.
Yeah.
So that's where you and God are right now. He's like, I want to be your father. And it's been difficult for you to accept that. I want to father you. And as your father, there's an inheritance that a daughter gets that even everybody else doesn't get. And he wants to give you your daughter inheritance, not just your redemptive inheritance, not just your I'm a child of God inheritance, but he wants to give you your daughter's inheritance in him. And whatever it is, I guess if I decided to push through, I could probably dig it up, but it wouldn't help anyhow because right now you've got to reconcile that God wants, he's not controlling your life. He's asking you to invite him to lead you into his life.
Yes, that's true.
So that's where you and him are. God so enjoys you, and I don't often get this kind of sentiment, but he so enjoys you. But you literally frustrate his hand because you're so independent. You're a bright kid. You were a bright kid. You still are. You're bright. You're very decisive. You know your own mind. You're good. And then you have to learn, you got the nerve to be a little bit prophetic. You can see around the corner. So therefore, I'll pick him up when I need him. But this is the season where he said, let him lead you by the hand.
Okay.
And that's just so scary for you, isn't it?
Yes, because I've been so, yeah. I mean, I'm learning to come out of my independence. Yes, I'm learning.
Hey, I understand because, and trust me, Your independence is not an offense to God. It can be an obstacle to his purposes, but it's not an offense because God chooses the strong. And
mm-hmm.
you're strong. He knows once he gets you on the right track, that same independence is going to take to the finish line what he ordained you to do. So
okay.
he's not frustrated. This is not a discredit thing. Oh, my goodness, I'm independent. God is all, oh, my gosh, he all kicked off of me. Are you kidding? God, you look at the Bible. God chose nothing but headstrong, independent folk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Carl, let's look at Abraham. Let's talk about
yeah.
Abraham. God is bold enough. He's going to take an army of 300 people and take out five nations. Who does that?
Mm-hmm.
He's got Moses. Moses is going to go from being on the backside of we don't know what to go to Pharaoh and take out another nation. Why? Moses so headstrong. He got him and God argued all the time. They fought all the time.
Yeah, they did.
But he was. But Moses is God's boy. Let's look at David. God and David. Can we talk about David? Let's talk about Deborah. All her countrymen are saying God doesn't use women, and God's like, well, what you going to do? So she can't even be in the capital. She got to be out under a palm tree somewhere, set her entire administration up under a palm tree because she can't be there because she's still going to be bold enough to do the job. Let's look at her friend JL. Hey, girl, I'm with you. I got your back. We can make this happen. So don't think. Oh, yeah, you know, come on now. So don't think that God has a problem with strong people. That is a mistake that we pass on to the church, and it isn't true. But he's saying, know the times when I need to pull you aside, and I need to do the work.
Okay.
Is that fair enough? Does that make sense to you, Gwen?
Oh, yes, it does. Yes, ma'am, it does.
All right, so you're going to be at peace, and you're going to, and now your visions and dreams are going to return because God is going to download visions to you and dreams to you for you to do this, okay?
Okay. All right, because they had left, I know.
Well, you know, when you're in the way, the visions and dreams were waiting. Baby, you were just running the other way. Dreams show up, you down the road, around the corner, under the tree. He said, I need you to be where I'm dreaming. So
okay.
you're going to be all right. It's going to work
okay.
for you. You're going to turn the corner on this thing, sweetheart, and your life is getting ready to be so pretty. The only word I have for it is pretty.
Okay.
So be at peace. You're going to do well. And don't worry about your later years because, honey, your later will be greater. That's who you are to the king.
Okay.
Hallelujah. Isn't it nice to know who we are to him sometimes? All the time?
Yes. I know he calls me daughter all the time. Okay.
Well, now you know that it means something to him, and you shouldn't trivialize it.
Okay.
Because God knows your name, but you realize that God talks to a lot of people and never call them anything. He just starts talking and he stops. He says what he wants to say and go silent. But then he has those people that he uses pet names for. And then he has those people. I mean, think about Israel. Israel's name is Israel, and yet in Deuteronomy he has Moses call him Jeshurun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jeshua, because he has names for him. He has, and the more you touch his heart, the more that other side of him shows up, and you know what he really feels, and he begins to speak to you in a different way, and he wants you to let him be a father to you.
Okay.
So that's going to be a little challenge. I'm sure that you'll call me a couple of more times, my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh.
Well, the beauty of technology, Gwen, is not only that we can talk to each other miles apart, but that you can go back to our blog talk site, download
yes.
this, listen to God sweet talk you again and again and again, because he is in a mood to sweet talk you.
Wow, okay. Thank
so
you, Lord.
I know.
Okay.
Father, thank you for Gwen. We thank you for her life. We thank you for your journey with her. We thank you that she's in the body. And I praise you for giving me an opportunity to minister to her on the phone today, to voice your thoughts to her in terms that she can understand. I thank you for that. Now, God, I'm asking that you watch over every word that I've spoken. You fulfill your purposes concerning her and give her peace. And, God, as you guide her, Lord, let her know how you'll guide her and give her the inklings and the prompts she needs to know when it's you and when it's not. And I bless you for it, dear Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Price.
You're
God
very welcome,
you.
Gwen. You too. Stay in touch, my girl.
I will.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Well, Prophet Ashley, we almost ran out the clock, huh?
Yeah, that was good.
I know. Isn't it something? You know, I just love my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he's my sugar man, and he knows he's the honey. And so I really appreciate it. I also found out in my times with the Lord that God wants to be known. He is affectionate, and he loves affection. You know, we think, okay, well, he's big, he's bad, you know, he can send tornadoes and stuff. I mean, you know, so he must be, it's because he's invincible, we think he's insensitive and that he's untouchable. But God loves affection. He loves lots of affection, which is why he says, praise him continually. Now, we like to say, why is that? Because God is dealing with folk who don't like him all day. The percentage of Christians, and then out of the Christians, the percent of genuine praisers and worshipers, very small in comparison to the huge volume of people that he has in the planet and in the body. So God is, you know, our praising God, our worshiping God, our obeying him and sacrificing to him, it all lends itself to encouraging him and also in releasing him to strengthen us. God moves when his mood is up. You have to change God's mood. He moves when he's feeling warm and fuzzy. He's feeling warm and fuzzy about Noah, and Noah did the right sacrifice, and it said the fragrance went up to God, and it smelled so good to him, it just warmed his heart. Warmed his heart and made him vow, I'm never going to do this again. I don't care how mad they make me, I'm never going to drown the earth again. Can you imagine that? The right sacrifice can warm God's heart to you. You can giving him what he wants, making him feel very loved, very desired, very affectionate, you know, very respected, rather. And you know what? You'll warm his heart. And when you warm his heart, God's heart, when you warm it, stuff bumps out. Just like warmness comes out of your heart, and people, when they warm your heart, you feel good about it, and then you want to do all of these good things for them. That's how God feels. So this week, guys, spend time warming his heart. Be affectionate to him. Share that affection with him. Love on him a little bit because you need things. And when you do, and when God opens his heart, it's not like us open our heart and all we have is a fragrance of emotions. When God opens his heart, all of his treasures locked in his heart for you are released, and he pours them out on you. He's an affectionate God. He's a good dad. He loves being a father. God loves being a father. It blesses him to be a good dad to us, to be a great parent. He absolutely adores it. He loves it when you come to him. He loves to hear you praise him. He loves it. Even though he walks you into difficulty, he walks you into difficulty to see if you can sweet-talk him out of it, and he can bring you right on up. He's going to bring you out. And so your difficulties are for you to sweet-talk him and to give him the affection he needs. Each and every one of you, under the sound of my voice, touch God in a way that no one else ever can and no one else thinks to, and he likes it. And the more he enjoys your warmth, the more he enjoys your affection, the more he enjoys your praise and your worship, your gifts, your sacrifices, the more you will move him to act. And he will move of his own accord. Because Noah did not ask God to like that sacrifice so much that he would make a perpetual vow. When Solomon prayed, he said, listen, when we offer you the right stuff and we do it the right way, hear from heaven and bless the land. Give God what he wants, and you're going to get pretty much what you want because he's an affectionate God. He loves attention. He loves affection. He can be, if you want him to leave you alone, God will leave you alone. You want him in the backdrop of your life, he'll stay in the backdrop. But if you want to move him and expedite stuff, you're probably going to have to act like that he's more than an icon and more than words on a page. You're going to treat him like he's a person, and I'm telling you, he will personally respond with blessings and favor and just release privileges that you've never even imagined. This is the season for you to touch his heart and to be an affectionate son or daughter of the Most High God. Well, Ashley, we've come to the end. We've only got a few minutes left. I'm sure you have some closing comments because we had a great show today. And then you can close out with some announcements. But for now, I am finished. I thank God for you. I love doing this, and I thank God for you all just tuning into me every week. And listen, let's continue to do so, and together we can make a great thing happen in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless you. Until next Thursday.
Amen and amen. We are here for the body. Once again, you are listening to The Paula Price Show at www.blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show, available to you and your friends 24/7. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll be hearing from you next week.
Hi, This is Dr. Paula Price thanking you for joining me on this week's show. I want to remind you that the counseling wisdom, the prayer and prophecy that you enjoy today does not have to end with today's program. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show and join tens of thousands of people who re-listen to my program every week. Again, blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show, and you can relive the experience every single day. God bless you.
Support the Paula Price Show today. For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time seed or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.